If you haven't been here for a while, or maybe you're brand new, maybe this is your first time here, we're glad you're here, and I want to take just a few minutes to catch you up in a series that we've been doing for about 4 weeks. This is our fourth week, but we've been doing a series called Fit for Life, and we'll be wrapping it up, this series, next week. But in this series, we've talked about how we need to be fit for life. And what we're talking about is not just our physical life, but we're talking about our spiritual life. We started the series by looking at a passage of Scripture. It's found in the New Testament. It's found in 1 Timothy. The Apostle Paul wrote this to his son in the faith, a young man named Timothy, who is a preacher in Ephesus. So he's leading a church. And one of the instructions Paul gives Timothy in this letter, this personal letter to him — this isn't a church letter, this is a personal letter — he says, "Timothy, I want you to train yourself to be godly. I want you to be trained in godliness." That takes a lot of work. And this is a spiritual exercise, is what Paul is saying. He's saying, I want you to work out. I want you to work out your spiritual muscles. You've got to grow in this. You've got to learn this. And this is a command. This is not a suggestion. But this is a command that goes to every one of us. So we all need to make sure that once we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior — and that's the first thing, okay? So that's step one. But once you do that, what we have to continue to do is to work at, to train at being godly. See, a lot of people think, oh, well, I'll just accept Jesus, I'll go to church, and I'm done. No. The Apostle Paul says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, he didn't say you work in order to earn your salvation, so please hear me on that. But what he does say is, once you have the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone, then you've got to get to work. Do you know why? Because just like any marriage, just like any friendship, just like any working relationship, if you're involved in a relationship, what does it take to make that thing successful? Work. Somebody's in a good relationship. It takes work, because you're the only one that knew it. But it takes work. It doesn't just happen. You got to work at it. And God says, I want you to be in a good relationship with me, but you know what? You're going to have to work at it. Doesn't just happen because you wanted to. Get after it. Get busy. So let's work at it. And so that's what Paul's encouraging Timothy to do, because, you know, Timothy, he had a big responsibility. He's leading a church. He's trying to lead people. And, I mean, he's a sinner just like us. He's struggling with things. He's involved in spiritual warfare. Satan's attacking him on all fronts. So he's got to train. He's got to stay sharp. He's got to stay focused on being to training in godliness. And so we've said, you know, it takes hard work on the individual. Nobody else can do this for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your children can't do it. Your spouse can't. Your buddies can't. Nobody can do this for you. It's something you have to do, no matter how young or old you are. Okay? So once you accept Christ, you got to get to work to foster that relationship. And God does work in you as you're doing this. So some of the things we've said — so that was that first sermon. That was what we were talking about as we introduced the series. And then we said, you know, a couple weeks ago, we said one of the things we have to do as we're involved in spiritual warfare, we burn a lot of spiritual calories, so we need to refuel. And that means getting into God's Word, allowing that to refuel us each and every day. We have to read the Scriptures and reread them, let them sear into our minds. We have to meditate on the Scriptures so that we chew them, we let them digest in us. That's what meditation does. It allows to, and then we have to study. It's where we investigate. We ask the tough questions. We try and learn. We look at the background. And if we fail to do this last one, it doesn't matter, and that's apply it. That means put the Scriptures into action. We have to do that. And then we said last week, we said we need to be in communion with God, and we do that through prayer. And so we engage with God on a daily basis and in our quiet and stuff like that. So that's kind of where we are up to this point. So this morning, we're going to talk about a spiritual discipline. We're going to talk about another spiritual discipline that I believe is off the radar of many Christians. It's lacking in the quiver of the Christian, and it shows. And that spiritual discipline is the spiritual discipline of rest. And so we're going to turn to the greatest teacher ever, our greatest coach, Jesus, and He's going to teach us about rest and what that means. And when I say rest, what I want to encourage you to think of is in sports, you know, you get a timeout, right? All right, so when you think of rest, think of like somebody calling a timeout. Timeouts are very important in sports. All right, a timeout in sports, it stops the play of the game. And sometimes in life, we just need to say, I got to stop. I just got to rest. I need a break. Sometimes a timeout allows the coach to come in and communicate to his team and say, hey, you're doing this right. You're not doing this right. You need to work on this. You need to improve here. It can encourage a team. Sometimes a coach might use a timeout to inspire a team to pick it up. Maybe you're getting out hustled. Maybe old Satan's hitting you on every front, you know, in the spiritual life, and you just got to pick it up a little bit. So these timeouts are good for us to engage in. One of the most famous timeouts happened back April 5th, 1993. You Michigan fans will remember this. I hope there aren't any Michigan fans. But if there are, I'm sorry, first of all. But Chris Webber, remember that? That famous timeout. He calls a timeout, and there's no timeouts left. Michigan went on to lose national championship game to North Carolina. I remember watching that game, and I remember thinking, this is profound. I wish both teams could lose. Didn't happen. Don't like either one, no secret. But anyway, North Carolina won another national championship. Good on them. We're beyond it. But timeouts, rest, and that's where these first two disciplines that we spent time talking about, that's where they take place. They take place in the spiritual discipline of rest. So as Christians, we do need to call timeouts, and I want to encourage you to start thinking about that. We're engaged in spiritual warfare. I hope you understand that. Life gets hectic. Everybody starts chiming in, and we're distracted. We're pulled in all different directions, and sometimes we just need to say time out. Jesus was in the habit of calling timeouts. He was. The Apostle Paul, I believe, was encouraging Timothy to say, sometimes, Timothy, you're just going to have to call a timeout. As you're leading a church, you're just going to have to call a timeout. Training to be godly means knowing when to call a timeout. When to rest. And this is probably, like I said, it's probably the most overlooked spiritual discipline in the Christian's life. Because we constantly, now tell me if this sounds like your life, okay? Constantly I'm surrounded by noise and busyness. Does that sound like your life at all? If we're honest. Now, if we're honest. I mean, we like to wear our busyness as medals of honor. We do. Look how busy I am. Let me tell you how many directions I got to go. I'd do it. Gosh, I mean, I would be a hypocrite if I said I didn't. I'd do it. I surround myself with noise. I work on sermons. I do. Work on sermons and I have music playing in the background, noise. Harry Connick Jr., he's one of my favorites. I like listening. All right? It's just music. I love it. I love music. I can't sing worth nothing, but I love it. But I believe the number one reason that Christians are failing at the disciplines is due to a lack of rest. We have a hard time pulling away from the noise, from the busyness. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning, because I believe it is a spiritual discipline that we all really need to bring back into our lives. Just need to, my grandma would call it, you need to just settle down. Cool your heels. You know those keep calm kind of shirt? Yeah, keep calm and rest. And Jesus, we need some of that. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn over to Mark 6. And if you don't have a Bible, that's all right. We should have one in a chair in front of you or behind you or somewhere. Grab one of those Bibles. If you don't own one, put your name in it, please, and take that home. We want to give that to you today. Just take it. It's yours. Just as long as you promise to read it every day. As long as you promise to get in it and read some part of it. That's just it's what we'd like to see in your life. So Mark chapter 6, verses 30 and 31, two verses today. Now what's happened is Jesus has sent his disciples out to do some work. They've come back. John the Baptist has been beheaded, but it's not covered in this part right here. But they've come back, and so Jesus says this to his disciples. He said, well, the disciples gathered around Jesus. This is Mark 6, verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Then, because so many people were coming, you hear it, there's the noise, and they were going, coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. So there was busyness, there was noise all around them. So what he did, Jesus said to him, he said this, he said, hey, I want you fellows to come by yourselves with me to a quiet place and get some rest. We need to pause and think about how important that is. If Jesus took time to say, guys, right in the middle of all this busyness, right in the middle of all the work you've been doing, let's withdraw, let's go get some rest. And you know what? Jesus didn't feel guilty about taking time out. He didn't feel guilty about resting. He didn't make his disciples feel guilty either. They were human. So was he. He was fully God, fully human. They had hectic lives. There was this sense of urgency to get as much stuff done as possible in the short time Jesus is on earth. Jesus had no qualms about having a little time away. He got away from the pressures that had been placed on him by others. He has a concern also for his disciples. He doesn't want them to burn out. After all, they've just come back from a strenuous mission trip. You ever been on a mission trip? If you have, you know, you go and you work and you work and you work and you exert all this energy and you come back and you're kind of pumped up, and but you're also exhausted all at the same time. That's kind of where these guys were. And so he knew this and he said, hey, let's get away for a while. Let's go to a quiet spot. Let's rest. Some of you here this morning, you're just waiting for somebody to give you an invitation to rest. You just need somebody to say it. So we're saying it, rest. Find rest. Many of you here this morning, you're longing for rest. Maybe it's a spiritual rest. Maybe you've just been engaged in spiritual combat left and right. Satan is just bugging you at every turn, and you know it, and you just, I need rest. Some of you, maybe it's physical. I don't know. Maybe you got a newborn in the house, or maybe you've got teenagers or whatever it is, or maybe you're in your house by yourself. And I mean, you just need rest. Maybe work. Maybe it's school. Maybe classes are just piling up and you just need that physical rest. Some of you, maybe it's emotional. Maybe you need that emotional rest. But I'm sure all of us are seeking some kind of rest, some type of rest in our lives. And I really want to help you find that rest that Jesus invited his disciples to, okay? And without any guilt. There should be no guilt in this. So first, I think it's important that we understand the purpose of rest. So to do this, we need to look at our text and allow it to teach us about rest. The apostles had just come back to Jesus from their brief commission to go out and to do what Jesus had instructed them to do. Jesus had told them, I want you to go out and I want you to preach and I want you to teach and I want you to drive out demons and I want you to heal the sick. And that's what they did. And they came back and they were full of all this excitement, like we said. They were eager to tell everything that they had done, everything that they had taught. But listen, I want to tell you, I mean, preaching and teaching and praying over people and praying for sickness and all that stuff, that stuff is exhausting. It really is. But any service for the kingdom of God can be exhausting. Do you know why? Because you have an enemy who is constantly attacking you. Those people that stood at the doors this morning and greeted you when you came in, I can guarantee you they've been under some kind of spiritual attack this week, or maybe over the weekend, wanting them to be sour-faced when you come in. But they put it up. They go up with it, and they greet you. People preparing communion. Boy, what an important ministry. But I'm sure some of them at some times, I'm sure they're going under spiritual attack. I'm sure there's things coming up in their lives, and here they are preparing the Lord's Supper for each of us to sit down and partake in. All ministries in the kingdom of God, they can be taxing and they can be exciting. But the thing we have to remember is that Satan is out there and he is attacking us at every turn. And so we need to remember that. Now, the text doesn't say it, but I believe Jesus knew these guys were tired. And that's why he invited them to center down. So Jesus, knowing their need, he invites them to come to a solitude place, a place of solitude where they could rest. You know, after any great effort, the body screams for rest. It really does. An athlete that's just run a triathlon requires 6 to 10 days to recover. It requires that much rest. Well, Christians, the soul cries for rest. For our spiritual health. It demands quiet. It demands it. after we've exerted a lot of spiritual calories, it demands rest. And we need to understand that. So there may be times in your Christian walk that you're doing things and you're just excited for the Lord, but you need to rest. And there may be times that you're doing things and you just feel beat up for the Lord, and those are times you need to rest. We in less than 130 days, we've got a project that we're going to be doing as a church. We're going to be building a building. And some of you are going to be helping. I'm hoping all of you help. We need a whole lot of volunteers. And that's good. And some of you, you're going to help and you're going to feel exhilarated. You're going to feel all pumped up. But listen, you need to go rest. And some of you, you're going to come under all kinds of spiritual attack as you go through this, and you're going to have to go rest. Don't feel guilted, okay? We do need volunteers, but don't feel guilted. You've still got to rest. One of the things I've noticed is Satan likes to, when we're doing things like this, where we're trying to serve the kingdom, Satan likes to really come in and tear up stuff. He likes to scratch around and mess up life. So I want to add a word of caution as we look at like 127 days from now, starting to build, okay? As we're erecting this building, we need to be cautious. And here's why I say that. Because this building is not our crowning glory. Okay? Jesus Christ is our crowning glory, not this building. Now, it will only be natural for some to step back and go, look at what we did. I've seen it. I've seen it happen in churches. I once visited a church who had built a brand new facility with volunteer labor. It was nice. They put a lot of work, a lot of hard work, a lot of hours into building this building. And when it was over, right smack dab in the middle of the foyer was a podium. And placed upon that podium was a picture album, a photo album. And that may seem innocent, but I'll tell you what it screamed to me was, look at what we've done. That's what it shouted. I'm not saying that's exactly what they were saying. I'm not saying that at all. But you got to be careful. You got to be careful. We really have to be careful. So it was screaming to me, look at what we've done. Look at what we built. Folks, this will be the work of our hands. But we got to make sure our hands are strengthened and endowed by the Creator. We're not doing this to bring glory to us. We're doing it to bring glory to Him. We must not forget that. That's why I'll tell you right up front, I am not a fan of participating in or being a part of celebrations. I'm just not. I don't like them. And here's why. Because when we take time to celebrate what we've done, we oftentimes forget who we've done it for. If we're not careful, we can start to come to a place where we just pay lip service, saying, this is for God, but we want the accolades. Jesus didn't want this to be the case for his disciples here. You see, here's what I'm trying to say. Jesus sent them on a mission to preach, to teach, to heal the sick, to drive out demons. And when they came back, the text tells us, they were saying, we won't tell you what we've done. No, you didn't do anything except what was given to you by the power of God to work through you. So be cautious. Sometimes we need to pull back and rest. See, rest causes us to turn our attention to God, not self. Rest causes us to rely on God, not self. That's a big danger in the church. That's a big danger in the Christian walk. Alexander McLaren he puts it this way in his work called Exposition of the Holy Scriptures, when he says this. I'm going to read it slow. I had to read this sucker, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 times. Some of you, you'll get it right away. But let this be meat for you this week, okay? Just chew on it. You know, put it in one of your 4 chambers and regurgitate and ruminate on it this week, all right? But Alexander McLaren said this. He said, without much solitary communion with Jesus, okay, effort for him tends to become mechanical. Now, here, let me tell you what I hear in that, okay? Real quick. What I hear in that little spot right there is that if we're not withdrawing and we're not having a relationship with Jesus Christ, then all the work, all the effort, all the work just becomes mechanical, just becomes a process of things that we do, and we fail to worship. That's what I hear him saying. And then he goes on, he says, and to lose the elevation of motive and the suppression of self, which give it all its power. He says, it is not wasted time which the busiest worker, confronted with the most imperative calls for service, gives to still fellowship in secret with God. You hear what he's saying? No matter how busy you are, you got to take time to rest. Rest in God. This is not an invitation to slothfulness, but to real rest. It's important that we serve Jesus, that as we serve Jesus, no matter what we're doing, we take time to rest. In verse 31, okay, in Mark 6, 31, Jesus uses the word anapauo, okay, and for rest. And it means to cease from physical labor. It actually means a bodily rest. Listen, the source of Christian doctrine of rest is the rest of God himself, who after completing the work of creation in 6 days, in Genesis 2:2, says that on the seventh day he rested from all his work. He rested not because he was tired, but to lay out a rhythm of life for us. Okay? Now, I don't want to get caught up in all the Sabbath day rest, because what is your Sabbath and what is somebody else's Sabbath? What day do you rest on? Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? There's all kinds of work around that. Jesus addressed all that with the Pharisees who were trying to make rest legalism. And I'm not trying to make it legalism. I'm just saying you need to make sure you rest. Because there are some people who think, well, you don't work on Sunday. Well, that's what I'm doing. Well, no, you're worshiping. Yeah, I'm worshiping, but I'm a preacher. I'm paid to preach. And so, if you're supporting me to work on Sunday and you're against work on Sunday, you need to go back and really reevaluate what work on Sunday means. Because I can guarantee you, if I don't show up on Sunday because I'm volunteering, something's going to happen. Because I'm paid to do that. I mean, that's my job. If you don't believe in work on Sunday, then don't go out and eat in restaurants. Okay? So check it. This isn't about legalism. This is about resting in God. All right. I'm going to move on. So anyway, God desires rest for us because it doesn't come naturally to us. To rest means we have to trust in God. That means that we trust that God's going to take care of things for us when we rest. It means that the world will not stop turning if you take a day off. Your organization will keep on going. And so Jesus invites his disciples to rest, and we want to invite you to find rest. All of us have days when we need that kind of invitation. Just as Jesus needed to get away for a while, so do we. I mean, Jesus' schedule was a whole lot busier and a whole lot more important than any of ours. It really was. And he said, I got to get away. I got to rest. They needed to retreat. Jesus did this on many occasions. Early, he usually did it early in the morning. He'd withdraw to a solitary place, and you know what he did in his rest? He prayed. In Mark 1:35, while it was early in the morning, while it was still dark, he rose up, went out, and departed into a deserted place, and he prayed. And his disciples came just 2 verses later. Jesus, come on, we got to go. We're busy. We got things to do. When he was about to be arrested, after he had instituted the Lord's Supper, broke bread with his disciples, he's going to be arrested. You know what he did? He went. He brought his disciples with him. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. He was resting in God. I mean, he was working hard in prayer, but he's resting in God. We can learn a lot from Jesus, who was never too busy or too overwhelmed by everything that was going on, to take time out of his life and to rest in his Heavenly Father. So, the purpose of all the spiritual disciplines is not about us, okay? It's not about us, but it is about fixing our attention on the Creator of heaven and earth, allowing Him to refocus our thinking, All the spiritual disciplines are about turning our attention to God in a deeper way. So remember that. That purpose of rest isn't about you going home, turning on SportsCenter, kicking your heels up. That's not the kind of rest we're talking about. Okay? Sorry, guys. That's not what we're talking about. It's not about turning on Lifetime movie channels, ladies. I'm stereotyping, so forgive me. It's about withdrawing and turning our attention, our focus back to God. So how do we do that? First thing we have to do is we got to plan for our rest. All right, we have to plan to rest. Just like a good coach is strategic in calling a timeout, so too should we as Christians be strategic in calling a timeout and taking rest. What I mean is that you have to schedule it. You need to put it on your calendar. Listen, if you don't plan to do something, and in this case call a timeout from the busyness of life and spend some time with Jesus each day, it's not going to happen. It will not happen. Remember the old adage, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail? That's true. Rest doesn't just happen. So put it on your calendar. Let people know, not so you can show off and brag to them, but let them know so that they can hold you accountable. It'll cause you to want to do that. So put it on your calendar. I think we often fail to consider that we must choose to rest, or else we're likely going to have rest forced upon us when we get exhausted, physically, mentally, emotionally. You ever found yourself forced to bed after pushing yourself too hard? You know you're starting to get sick, but oh, I can just fight through this. I got so much to do. I'm so important. I got to keep going. And the next thing you know, you're in bed for a week or two. It happens. So plan on rest. God made us to rest. Now, listen, real quick, I'm going to wrap this up. Next 5-7 minutes, we're just going to talk about how we actually do this. Let's talk about why we practice and what we do as we practice rest, okay? So hang with me. Here we go. We have to practice rest. Got to put it into action. Just so we're all on the same page, when I say we need to rest, I'm not talking about emptying the mind like Eastern meditation, okay? So don't do that. I'm talking about being filled by the Holy Spirit of God and entering into His rest. We practice rest to withdraw to solitude. That's the first reason, okay? Every time Jesus withdrew to rest, He withdrew to a quiet or solitary place. So I don't want to miss that. That's right there in verse 31. The Greek word that's used there is the word eirenom. And it means it can mean abandonment, and it can mean lonely, but that's not what the meaning is here. In this passage, what Jesus wanted to do is He wanted to escape the crowds. He wanted to get away with His disciples. And He wanted to get away from the noise. He wanted to get away from the busyness. Jesus knows that people can suck the life right out of you. Many of you know people can suck the life. Many of you suck the life out of yourself. When you're around yourself long enough, huh? I mean, it happens. So what Jesus is doing is He's inviting them into a place of communion with God. So this word quiet in your NIV, it could better be translated to solitude, maybe secluded, okay? Richard Foster in his book Celebration of Discipline says this. He says, Jesus calls us from loneliness to solitude. Now see if this sounds like any part of your life. Our fear of being alone drives us to noise and crowds. I'd say that's true for most of us. See if you've ever met somebody like this next sentence. We keep up a constant stream of words even if they are inane. Loneliness, and I like this, loneliness is inner emptiness, or solitude is inner fulfillment. This inner fulfillment is what we're after. Now, Jesus was taking the disciples and He was inviting them to a specific place to encounter physical solitude. But in that, I believe He wanted them to experience spiritual solitude as they had just exerted all their spiritual calories by teaching and healing the sick and casting out demons. And He knew they needed to reconnect with God. Even though they were excited, they were depleted, and they needed to rest. And the best place to rest is in solitude. Next, we practice rest to collect our thoughts. I believe it. Rest is a time to collect your thoughts, to think about your life, to think about where you're going. Listen, if you don't sit down and spend some time thinking about where you're going, what you're doing, you're just aimless. You're just going through life aimlessly. Okay? You need to think about your relationship with God. You need to spend time in prayer. Romans 12, 2, Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Best place for that to happen is in rest. It's when you take time out to worship God and to rest for a while from the pressure of your daily life that these questions start to pour in, that you can start hearing God's answer on a lot of these. In fact, a part of every day should be time out from what keeps us so busy, and we should sit in the quiet presence of God. A.W. Tozer said it this way in his book, The Pursuit of God. He said, what comes into your minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So collect your thoughts. What do you think about God? What are your thoughts about life and the life that God's given you? We need to take time out, lay our whole lives at the feet of Jesus, and rest. Okay, we practice rest also to change the pace of life. We've got to change the pace of life. Take time out. Change the pace that you're living at. You can't serve God if your body is fatigued, if your nerves are frayed. Because you know what happens? I'm talking from personal experience, okay? All right? Because I know none of you deal with this. I know you've got this all wrapped up. But, you know, maybe I get edgy. I know you don't do that. You're good people. I get short-tempered. I'm a maniac in a parent drop-off line. If I'm not resting, you got to rest. You can start to, well, it's true, and you know it. You've witnessed it. Especially if the window doesn't come down. You're just worn out because everything and everyone starts to just get at you. It chips away. And you feel like doing anything but praising God. You're wanting to escape. So it's important that we take that time. We discipline ourselves to rest. It changes the pace of life. Both body and mind need to rest for a while. So take time out. Jesus said this. It's a wonderful passage. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, 28. He said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Now, some of you here this morning, you're weary. You're burdened. I know you are. Because I know what life does to people. And Jesus said this. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart. And then he gives us this promise, and you'll find rest for your soul. Hey, we practice rest to worship God. We worship in rest. Take time out, spend it with God, the God who loves you, the God who made you, the God who saved you, brought you into a saving relationship through his son, Jesus Christ. It's necessary for the Spirit of God to burn this truth into our hearts. The most important work we have to do is the work we must do on our knees, alone with God, away from the racket of the world and the shout of people's voices. This work is the most important of all because it is a prerequisite to all the other work that we have to do in the world and the kingdom of God. It's how we worship. Herbert W. Bateman, in his work Authentic Worship, said, throughout Scripture, God desires that his people worship him, celebrate him, memorialize him. That doesn't just happen as a collection of people, but that happens individually. The first commandment teaches us we are to worship the Lord your God. Worship acceptable to God is the missing crown jewel in evangelical Christianity. So let me ask you this question. Is worship missing from your rest? And then finally, we'll wrap it up with this. We practice rest to pray. You pray in it. Take time out with the Lord in the midst of your work. Taking that time out should be a prerequisite to all the other work that you do. For the simple reason of this, it is by prayer that we couple the powers of heaven to our helplessness. The reason we're inefficient, the reason we don't get things done, is we haven't prayed about it. Do you think it's important to pray before you go to class? Yes. Do you think it's important to pray before you go into your office? Yes. Before you stand at the assembly line? Yes. You think it's important to pray before you go into the hospital to help? Yes. Do you think it's important to pray before you get on the sanitation truck? Yes. Before you raise the hood on the car to do your work if you're a mechanic? Yes. We're helpless without the power of God working within us. So take time, rest, tap into the power of God through prayer. King David said this. I don't know if he's quoting God in this or what. God's laying this on his heart, but in Psalm 46, the Lord says this through David. Be still. Let me say it this way. Rest and know that I am God. Calm down. Stop just a moment. Remember the goodness of God. Meditate on His Word. Let it speak to you. Let God know what's going on in your heart. I hope none of us think we're too busy for that. Do you know why? Because the opposition is strong. It's not too hard to get caught up in so many things that taking time out becomes unimportant. Jesus was a busy man, but he realized that if he was going to keep his ministry in proper perspective, that if he was going to have the strength to carry it out, that if he was going to defeat Satan and sin and resist that, he needed to be closely in touch with his heavenly Father. And listen, you ain't Jesus. So if he realized that and he needed that, how much more do we? A whole lot. Jesus knew how stressed we can become. He knew that we would all get our priorities upside down and inside out. He was well aware that our frenzied lives would take their toll on not only our health, but also our closeness to our Heavenly Father. Not to mention the bad example that we're leaving behind to the younger generation when we hardly have time to spend with them or to spend with God. What are we teaching our kids? What are we teaching the ones who watch us? If we don't have time to spend with God, why should they make time to spend with God? See, for the Christian, for those of you here who are yet to be a Christian, maybe you haven't accepted Christ yet, the ultimate rest is found in Christ. He invites all who are weary and burdened to come to Him, to cast our cares on Him. It's only in Christ we find our complete rest from the cares of the world, from the sorrows that plague us, from the need to work to make ourselves acceptable to Him. A.W. Tozer says, the reason why many are still troubled, why many are still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders and interfering with God's work within us. Listen, God does His best work in us when we trust Him enough to rest in Him. So my hope and prayer is that these two little verses that Jesus talked with His disciples about, that He invited His disciples to rest, I hope that they are a catalyst to get you to thinking about where life's taking you and that you'll take time out with Him, be refreshed by the one who loves you, your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus.